Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Mem Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the Mishnah that you'll find at the top of Daf Mem Ches, four lines from the top. The Mishnah opens up with words that we already saw at the beginning of the Perek, where there were a number of mitzvahs that were related to Sukkos that were listed, including their time lengths. And here, the Mishnah elaborates on that which was taught there. So, the Mishnah here says, Hahalel v'hasimcha shmoina, that the mitzvahs of Hallel recitation and Simcha is related to the eating of Korban Shlomim, Shalmei Simcha, Shmoina is 8 days. This is what was pointed out at the opening Mishnah of the Perek. Ketzad, well, how is this to be understood? Melameid, Shechayev Odom b'Halel u'besimcha u'v'chvoid yom tovo achron shel chag k'sha'ar kol yemois chag. In order to account for 8 days, after all, Sukkot itself is a 7-day holiday. So we are taught, that's what the Mishnah says, Melameid, this number 8, associated with Hallel and Simcha, teaches us that the obligation of Hallel and eating of Shlomim and the honoring of the holiday applies to the last day as well. The last day is Shmini Atzeres. So in order to account for 8, you'll have to include Shmini Atzeres, and hence the conclusion that the rules, or the obligations of Hallel and Simcha, which as we said is the eating of Korban Shlomim, applies to the last day as well, to Shmini Atzeres. The Gemara. Mino hani mili de tonu rabbanon. What is the source of this, that which was taught, namely that Shmini Atzeres is chayev in Simcha? And the reason for asking this question, Rashi points out, is because the Torah doesn't say so. It doesn't say so explicitly. The Torah in Parshas Re'eh, in Sefer Dvorim Perek Tezayin, mentions the 7 days of Sukkot. It says Chaka Sukkos Taase Chol Shivas Yomim, and it says V'somachto B'chagecha. And from this, we learn that, as we'll see in this Tanaic source, that Shmini Atzeres is also included. And how do we get to that conclusion? Well, we will now see. It says after the Pasuk mentions observing Sukkot for 7 days, it says, V'hoyiso ach someach. It says in Pasuk Tesvav, after in Pasuk Yud Gimel, it had mentioned Chag HaSukkos Taaseh Shivas Yomim, in Pasuk Yud Dalet, it mentioned V'som Achto Bechagecha, and it concludes, finally, in Pasuk Tesvav, saying, V'hoyiso ach someach. L'rabois, this seeming extra expression of V'hoyiso ach someach, after all, it said V'somachto Bechagecha already. So from this seemingly extra expression, we learn L'rabois Leile Yom Tov Acharon, that we include the night ushering in Shmini Atzeres. Yom Tov Acharon is an expression meaning the last Yom Tov, meaning Shmini Atzeres. We're including the night. Now what do we mean? What does Someach mean? Someach is a reference to the offering and eating of Korban Shlomim. It is said that at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, Ein Simcha Ela B'Bosar V'Yayin, and the Bosar is a reference to the Basar Korbanos, meat from Shalmei Simcha, from Korban Shlomim. As a result of this, of L'Rabois Leile Yom Tov Acharon, what we have to now understand is that you would have to slaughter a Korban Shlomim on the 7th day of Sukkot, and in Korban Shlomim you have 2 days in the intervening night in which to eat it. So by having a Korban Shlomim shechted on the daytime of the seventh day of Sukkot, it'll be available, the meat will be available for the night ushering in Shmini Atzeres. And as far as the Chiyuv Simcha on Shmini Atzeres daytime, so that's derived through a Kal V'chomer. If we're including the night, which is considered subsidiary to the day, then all the more so the day itself. And those Korban Shlomim that you shechted on the seventh day of Sukkot will be available for you, will be useful for you for being mekayim this mitzvah of Simcha through Besar Shlomim, the night of Shmini Atzeres and the next day. It should be pointed out that the reason we're emphasizing the slaughtering of the sacrifices on the seventh day is because we don't offer sacrifices at night. So to suggest that we'll slaughter them the night of Shmini Atzeres is out of the question. So at this point, we're saying that the din Simcha applies to Shmini Atzeres, and we learn it from this pasuk V'yisoach Sameach. O'eino ela Yom Tov HaRishon. Maybe what this pasuk is coming to include is the nighttime ushering in the first day of Sukkot. And by the way, Rashi has a girsa here, O'eino elo l'rabois leile yom tov harishon. And actually, that you will see later in this particular source. So it's the suggestion is maybe we should include the night of the first day of Sukkot. The practical outcome of that is that the pasuk would then be obligating one to shecht korban shlomim erev Sukkot, so that the meat is available for that night. So what are we including? Are we going to include the night ushering in the eighth day, or the night ushering in the beginning of Sukkot? Keshu oimer ach. The word ach appears in the pasuk we read. Vayisa ach sameach. Chalak. Chalak means it is exclusionary. Ma royis l'rabois leile. We should just complete our sentence. It is excluding the first night. What is it that you see to include the night ushering in the last day and excluding the night ushering in the beginning of the holiday? In other words, the chiyuv simcha and eating shlomim korbanos on that first night is not what is intended. So the Braisa answers, Marbe ani leile yom tov ha'achron, I choose to include in the chiyuv simcha, in the obligation of simcha, the night ushering in Shmini Atzeres, Shiesh simcha lefonov. It's a time that was also preceded with days of simcha, namely Sukkot itself. Umotzi ani leile yom tov ha'rishon, the first night has less significance insofar as that it was not preceded. She'ein simcha lefonav. There wasn't simcha preceding that first night. The Mishnah, and this of course is a continuation of the point mentioned in the opening Mishnah of the Perek, Sukkah Shiva Ketzad. How are we to appreciate the mitzvah of Sukkah? That's a 7-day mitzvah, and when we say seven, it means seven and not eight. So how are we to prepare ourselves for Shmini Atzeres if you were eating in the Sukkah all 7 days? And Shmini Atzeres, as far as Ikur Hadin is concerned in Eretz Yisrael, you don't eat in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. So the Mishnah says, Sukkah Shivo Ketzad. How are we to understand the 7-day requirement of Sukkah as opposed to the 8th day? Gomar mile'echol, when you finished eating on the seventh day of Sukkot, lo yatir es sukkoso, you don't undo, take down your sukkah, because the whole day is obligated in sukkah. In other words, even if you finished eating, but nevertheless, if you're going to planning to learn or take a nap, that has to be in the sukkah. So you can't take the sukkah down after you finished eating on the seventh day. Avol, Moirid es hakelim min amincho lamala. From after noon on, you will take out of the sukkah your vessels. It includes any bedding or other vessels. Of course, before sukkahs began, you were instructed to bring all your nice vessels into the sukkah. So now we're at the tail end of the holiday. Take them out of your sukkah, mipnei kvod yom tov ho'achron shel chag, so that you show us that you are preparing to usher in the last holiday, the end of the holiday, which deserves its own respect. Ein lo kelim lahorid mahu. Let us say a person doesn't have vessels. What should he do to demonstrate that he is not adding to the mitzvah of sukkah and making it into an 8-day holiday? The Gemara asks, Ein lo kelim elo ki ishtamish b'may ishtamish. If you're telling me a person didn't have vessels, so what was he using throughout sukkahs? Elo ein lo mokum lahorid kelov mahu. Let us say you have someone that doesn't have any place to remove his vessels. He doesn't have a house. He doesn't have some alternative location. So it would appear, we're talking about a person then that's going to be forced to be in the sukkah because he has no other option. But on the other hand, he has to be careful as to not create the impression that this his continued stay in the sukkah is a function of a continuation of sukkahs, because that would be a violation of Baal Tosif, the prohibition of adding to the commandments of the Torah. If the Torah says 7 days, it means 7 days and not 8 days. And if I'm going to continue in the sukkah because I don't have any place to remove the vessels, I don't have a house, I don't have an alternative location, so I'm going to be in the sukkah on the 8th day, so what do I do so as to make it clear that I'm not there for the purpose of adding a day to the holiday? The Gemara answers, Reb Chiya bar Ashi Omar. We should point out, by the way, on the side under our topic heading, we've written Mishinel Atzlecho B'Sukkah B'Shmini Atzer. Someone who is forced to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzer. My Yaseh Shelo Yireh Ka'Over Al Baal Tosif. What should he do so as to avoid the impression that he is adding to the holiday? So the Gemara answers, Reb Chiya bar Ashi Omar. He should make a space in his schach of 4 tvachim, and by moving the schach away in the middle of the sukkah, leaving a gap of 4 tvachim, that will render it unfit. There is quite a discussion that Tosfos gets into. He raises a problem, and it's a serious problem. Where does the number 4 come from when you're dealing with Avir, because we have learned in the past that Avir renders a sukkah unfit even if it's a mere 3 tvachim. So there is a discussion in the Tosfos, and there's a footnote here to say to look at the Ritva, and there is further commentary on it. But for our purposes, he does an action to the sukkah, making the sukkah, we'll say, unfit, and therefore his continued eating in there is not going to create the impression that he is in a sukkah shel mitzvah, and he's not doing it as a mitzvah, but he's there because he has no other place. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar, Madlik bo es haner. We have learned that one does not light his candle in the sukkah. It's a fire hazard. So in a sukkah shel mitzvah, we know that the ner is not supposed to be in the sukkah. If you see him lighting a ner in the sukkah, that would indicate that it's not a sukkah of mitzvah. So we have two explanations. One is render it unfit, and the other is light a candle in it. V'loy pligi. There really is no machlokas here. Ha lon v'ha lahu. We look at the Rashi. Ha lon livnei bovel. For the people living outside of Israel, where they do have to sit in the sukkah on the eighth day, because the eighth day might be the seventh day. Outside of Israel, there is the phenomenon of what we call Sveika de Yoima. Because people were far away and from Jerusalem, where the new month was established and information took a long time to travel, so people were far away. At the point that there was the change of the month, they didn't get their information immediately, so there could be a discrepancy of a day. That's generally speaking what we refer to as Sveika Tiyom. So now, outside of Eretz Yisrael, people have to sit in the sukkah. Now, they can't sit in an unfit sukkah. So the suggestion of ruining the sukkah by making an airspace of four tefachim in the schach wouldn't be appropriate for the B'nai Bovel. So what should they do? So for them, they light a candle in the sukkah. By lighting a candle in the sukkah, they're demonstrating to us that it's not a sukkah shel mitzvah anymore. But on the other hand, it's still a kosher sukkah. The structure itself is still kosher. And the halahu for the B'nai Eretz Yisrael that do know the date, and they know that the eighth day is the eighth day. It's the 22nd of Tishrei, and it's not the 21st of Tishrei. It's not the end of Sukkot, but rather it's already Shmini Atzeres. For them, they make the space in the schach. Ha teinach sukkah ketana. This suggestion of lighting the candle inside the sukkah as a demonstration that it's no longer a sukkah according to the laws of sukkah making. That's true when you're dealing with a small sukkah, and lighting the candle in a small sukkah is something that is, in the case of the sukkah shel mitzvah, we tell you not to do. Here, if you're doing it, you're showing us that it's not a sukkah of mitzvah. So I'm not adding to the holiday. Sukkah gedoyla ma'ikol ameimar. However, when you're dealing with a large, spacious sukkah, even on sukkahs itself, people are allowed to light their candle inside the sukkah. So for people who are in Bovel, that have a large sukkah, what should they do to demonstrate that they're not being over on Baal Toysef? The Gemara answers, Demayol bei moni michla. They should leave their used eating vessels, let's say pots that you brought into the sukkah to pour out food from them. In a sukkah of mitzvah, you are told to take the pots out of the sukkah. Don't leave them in. Don't leave used dishes, unclean dishes in the sukkah. In the case of B'nai Bovel on Shmini Atzeres in a large sukkah, the eitzah, the advice is leave the dirty vessels in the sukkah, showing us that had it been a sukkah of mitzvah purposes, he wouldn't have left them in there. So he's demonstrating to us that he's not in the sukkah for the purpose of mitzvah fulfillment. Dioma Rova, Moni Michla Bar Mitalosa, Moni Mishtaya Bimitalosa. We have brackets around the last three words because that we want to de-emphasize. Rava's teaching is that moni michla, moni are vessels, michla of food vessels, bar means outside, mimatalosa, outside the sukkah. You're supposed to get them out or keep them out of the sukkah. The second halach of his is not relevant to our discussion, but moni mishtia, drinking vessels, like cups that you use for beverages, even when they are finished being used, bimatalosa, they can remain in the sukkah. We continue now with the Mishnah that deals in detail with Nisuch Hamayim. Nisuch Hamayim is the water libation, that is water that's poured on the Mizbeach every day of Sukkot. And this water pouring is unique to the holiday of Sukkot. in general, when you see the term nisuch or nisochim, it's nisuch hayayin. That's a reference to the wine that accompanies almost all sacrifices that is poured on a constant basis on the Mizbeach. Constant meaning every time a sacrifice is brought, with a couple exceptions, that's wine nisochim. Here we're focusing on the water nisuch of Sukkis. Nisuch hamayim ketzad. How is it done? Tzluchis shelzov. A tzluchis is a receptacle, a vessel made of gold. Machzekis shloisha lugim. Lug is a liquid quantity. So this vessel holds three lugim. Hoy memali min hashiloch. He would fill it from the spring known as the shiluach that was next to Yerushalayim. Higiu l'shar hamayim. Then when they reached the Shar HaMayim, I'm sure you'll appreciate the literal translation, water gate, and that's what it was. One of the gates leading into the Azora was called Shar HaMayim, and it got that name because of this, because of the, that was the gate they entered when they came to do the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkis. So they, when they reached that gate, Toku Variu Vatoku, there was a blasting of the shofar, Truas, Tkias and Truas. The Gemara gives a posik for that. Rashi points out that this is Mishum Simcha. It's for festive purposes. Olo Bakevish. At this point, by the way, we have a couple illustrations from the Pirush Chai. We haven't been looking into that book in the last couple dapim, but in the Pirush Chai, illustration 633, which is found on page 129 of the Pirush Chai. So see a picture of the altar with the ramp leading up to the altar. The altar was in the southern part of the Azora, some part of the Mizbeach, and you would walk up the altar in a northerly direction. And the issue here is, when you reach the top of the Mizbeach, what direction do you turn in? So the Mishnah says, Olo Bekevesh, he arose the ramp, Upono Lesmolo, he made a left turn. Now, by making a left turn, you're going to be walking in a westerly direction. Technically speaking, you're walking toward the Heichal, the enclosed part of the Beis Hamikdash, which was located built in the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. So you're taking a left turn, and by the way, a left turn is very unusual when going to the top of the Mizbeach. In general, one is to make a right turn. And there are sources for that elsewhere. But here, we say you're going to make a left turn. And Shnei Sfalim Shel Kesef Hayusham, illustration 637. You also actually have it also in this, an aerial view in illustration 634. You can see what's listed there is Mayim and Yayin in that diagram. That's, as we say, an aerial view. And 637 shows what they look like, what's pictured in 634 from an aerial view, the round items there, they appear in 637, in the Pirush Chai. So those are two Sfolim. A Sefel is often translated as a cup. Well, they're two receptacles that were actually built into the Mizbeach. Echad, one was they were made of silver. That's the a first opinion as far as the material of which they were made. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shel Sid Hoyu, they were really made of Sid. Sid is a mineral material, possibly lime. Elo shel Mushchorin Pneim Pnei Hayayin. Sid is basically a white colored substance, but it could have given the impression of being silver, which is a darker substance, and that's as a result of the wine that was poured in them. Umenukovim, from the word nekev, a hole. They had a hole. Kamin shnei chotmin dakin. A chotem is a nose. So if you look at the illustration on 637 and you have a good imagination, the protrusion at the bottom of the seifel is the chotem. And there were two svolim, we may have mentioned. And they had small holes in them. Echad me'uba ve'echad dak. Kedesh yushneim kolim bevasachas. We didn't mention by mistake the three lines from the bottom of Omer Aleph when the Mishnah mentioned shnei svolim, the two receptacles there. You saw it in the diagram, maybe that's why we didn't say it, but one was for the wine libation and one was for the water libation. The wine libation was all year round and the water libation on Sukkos. So these two svolim, each one had its own nozzle, and each nozzle had in it a hole. And the Mishnah is saying that one, echad me'uba ve'echad dak, one was a Me'uba was a wide hole, and the other was a narrow hole. Kedeshu shneim kolim bevasachas, so that the liquids, when they're poured in, when the wine libation and the water libation are poured in at the same time, they will finish pouring out of each seifel at the same time. So, being that one is wine and one is water, so they're different hole sizes. We're going to say more about that later in the Gemara. Ma'arovo shel mayim, the more westerly seifel cup in the Mizbeach, was for the water libation. Mizrocho shel yayin, and the more easterly one is for the wine. If you switch things around by way of pouring Iro Shel Mayim L'Soch Shel Yayin, if you accidentally poured the water into the hole designed for the wine, V'Shel Yayin L'Soch Shel Mayim, where you poured the wine libation into the seifel designated for the water, Yotza, you have fulfilled your requirements anyway. Reb Yehuda Omer. Reb Yehuda, you will see, disagrees on two points. First of all, he says, "Belug hoyemenasech." The quantity of water was one lug, as opposed to the Tanakama that said three lug. We learned that at the beginning of the Mishnah, where mention was made of a tsluchas shel zog machsech shloisha lugim. So Rabbi disagrees and says that the water libation, In contrast to the wine libation, the water was one lug. And another point, he says, kol shmoina, all 8 days there was a water libation, including shmini atzeres, as opposed to the Tanakama, who would tell you only 7 days. Va v'lamenasech, the kohen who was going to do the pouring, omer lo, he would be told, hagbei yodcha, raise your hand with the cup of water, with the we said tzluchis holding the water. Raise your hand. Well, what do we want to see? What do we want to accomplish by this? Shepam echod nisech echod al gabi raglov. There was a story where someone who happened to be a tzeduki, a tzeduki is a member of a group of people that don't accept the oral tradition. They abide only by that which is written in the Torah. The din of nisuch hamayim is not something that is black on white in the Torah. It's derived through drushas, based on Torah Shebal Peh, the oral tradition. We saw Reb Yochanan a couple times already in the Masechta that says that it's based on Halacha L'Moshe Nisina. It's an oral tradition from Sinai. We saw Shitas Abba Shol that says that the word Nischei appears in the plural, so one is Nesach Hayayin and one is Nesach Hayayin. Whatever, either way, it's not something that is Mefurash, and therefore the Tzedukim didn't accept it. And there was once a Tzeduki Kohen who reached the top of the Mizbeach, and he poured the water, instead of pouring it into the holes like the mitzvah is to be done, he poured it on his feet. V'rogmu kol ha'om besrogehen, and all those that were assembled there pelted him with their esrogim. K'maseh b'chol kach maseh b'Shabbos, as is done on a weekday, so too would be done on a Shabbos that falls out on Sukkot. So there was, it's one of the days of Sukkot, so it needs to have the nisuch hamayim. Ela, with the following exception, and it has to do with the preparatory stages. Shoy memale me'erev Shabbos chovis shel zohav she'eino mekudeshes min hashiloach u'manicha b'lishka. He would fill up, memale is to fill up the water on Friday, because to carry the water from outside the Beis HaMikdash, from Yerushalayim into the Beis HaMikdash, is a violation of the dinim of Hoitzah. So to go from outside Yerushalayim, where the Shiloach was, and bring the water into the from there into the Beis HaMikdash would involve a problem of, we'll call it, problem of carrying, problem of Hoitzah. So the water couldn't be drawn on Shabbos. They would draw it on Erev Shabbos in a golden receptacle, Chovis Shelzov, She'enim Hudeshes, and this vessel was not sanctified. It was not considered a holy vessel. And it was, we'll get to that later, we'll speak about why it was important that the vessel not be sanctified. And it was then Umanicha Belishka, it was then placed in one of the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash. So now we'll make mention. The water that is kept in an unsanctified vessel will not become unfit through what's known as lina. Lina is a phenomenon that will affect and render unfit something that has been sanctified and left overnight. So that if the water were in a sanctified vessel, and you drew it, let's say, Friday, by the time Shabbos day arrives, the water, had it been in a sanctified vessel, so the water would have achieved sanctity, and as such, it becomes sensitive to lina, staying through the night. So they preempted that problem here by drawing the water in an unsanctified vessel, and as such, the water does not gain sanctity, and it is thereby resistant or impervious to the problem or the disqualification known as lina. The Mishnah continues, Nishbecha, Nisgalsa, if the water, let's say, spilled out, or it was exposed, left uncovered, Hoy memale min hakior, they would fill up water from the kior, which was a tank of water that was in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash, and they would use that water for the Nisuch HaMayim. Shehayayin v'amayim megulin psulim legavi mizbech, with regard to wine and water, if they are left exposed, they are unacceptable for the mizbech. Now, what is the problem with beverages that are left exposed, wine and water? The problem is the fear that a venomous creature, a snake, for example, may have come to drink from it when you were not supervising the beverage. And as it drinks, it might have deposited some of its venom in the water. The venom is as it is. It's venom, it's not water. So, and when you fill up, let us say, your vessel of 3 lug, for Nisuch HaMayim, or 1 lug if you hold like Reb Yehuda, if you fill it up with a specific quantity, and exactly that quantity, and there happens to be venom in there, so you don't have 3 lug of pure water, you really have 2.9 lug of water and 0.1 lug of venom. So you don't have the required quantity. And that, hence, as Rashi explains, the presence of venom in these liquids that are needed for the mizbeach renders it unfit, because of, we call the lack in the necessary quantity, as we describe. Menohani midi. The Gemara asks, from where do I know that there is there is shofar blasting, the tkiya toikrimrian, for the drawing of the water for the nisuch that the Mishnah had mentioned? Omar of Eino, the Omar Kro, Ushaftem Mayim Bisosain. Shaftem Mayim is the drawing of water, Bisosain, in a state of joy. And so this is a hint to the drawing of the water for the Nisuch HaMayim on Sukkos, is to be done with something that in a situation or in an atmosphere of joy, and that's created by the sounding of the shofar. You see, we have a diamond, and we also have a long marking on the side, and we have in the margin the Nosei Mivneh heading features the diamond, and what we'll see in the Gemara, Shnei Maisim Iminim, two stories involving heretics, B'shnei Muskar Min Shishmo Sason. In both of these stories, there will appear a heretic whose name is Sason. The stories here are a bit mystical. So, as everyone who's been a regular with Gemara markings Shurim knows, that when we get into these realms, we generally suffice it with the translation of the Gemara with our disclaimer that we are not giving any real justice to the depth of the Gemara through our translation explanation. But for anyone who is interested, you are now on notice that you can research it further. The Gemara. Hano tre mini. There were two minim. Minim are heretics, skeptics, scoffers. Chad shmei Sason v'chad shmei Simcha. One's name was Sason and the other's name was Simcha. Amalei Sason l'Simcha. So Mr. Sason addresses Mr. Simcha and says, Ano adifno minoch. I am better than you. Dechtiv Sason v'Simcha yasigu. In this pasuk you see Sason is mentioned first, so he must have primacy over Mr. Simcha. Amalei Simcha l'Sason. Simcha retorts, Ano adif no minoch, I am better than you. Dechtiv Simcha v'Sason layudi. You see Simcha appearing first. Amale Sason l'Simcha. Sason reacts to Mr. Simcha, has to get him back, and he says, Chad yoma, one day is going to come. Shavkuch v'shavyuch parvanka. Regarding shavkuch, shavkuch means literally abandon you. However, Rashi says, "Yafkiucha min hashamayim," you'll be cast out from heaven, and you will be made into v'shavyuch. You'll be made into parvanka. Parvanka is a runner who runs in front of others. Dichtiv ki b'simcha, through simcha teitzeu. So you will go out, and Rashi explains that Shehu yare hadrochim v'yavor mavros hamayim. He'll run ahead, showing people the way. So Sason, that's his whatever. That's his dig to Simcha, that you're going to be reduced to a mere runner and to serve others. Omar le Simcha le Sason. So of course he responds. Chad yom shavkuch. One day they're going to cast you out. Umolu boch maya. They're going to fill you up with water. Dechtiv ushaftem mayim bisason, and water will be drawn into sason. He'll be filled with, he's going to be made into a vessel holding water. As we said, a bit obscure, but that having been said, let's continue to the next story, also obscure. Armaleahu mino deshmei sason Rabbi Avo. The heretic named a heretic named Sason addressed Rabbi Avo. It's interesting to note, by the way, that throughout the Shas you find a few stories or encounters between Rabbi Avo and heretics. In fact, Rabbi Avo in addition to his greatness in Torah learning, he also happened to be a government official, and he had to deal with all kinds of individuals, all kinds of people, and hence you find him in these confrontational situations. So you have this min confronting Rebbe Vo, and he says to Rebbe Vo, "Asidisu de tamalu li mayim la almodasi." In the future world, you are going to be filling, you, the Jewish people, are going to be serving me with water. You're going to be filling up water for me. In other words, you'll be servile to us. By the way, it has been said that the Shas, the Talmud, has in it hidden references, maybe because of censorship, or to avoid censorship, or what have you. There are hidden references to other religions, other faiths, that oftentimes you can reveal their identity through the messages that they convey. So we're not going to commit ourselves to any specific religion here, but that having been said, you can see a sense of supremacy being articulated on the part of this particular min. Either you call him a heretic or a member of some other faith. Also, the historical, the dating of the Talmud, to know the time that Rabbi Avo lived in, might also shed light on who he was having his encounters with. But again, we are certainly going to avoid any specific reference, but just leaving that as food for thought. Certainly, the min is not a positive individual, as an understatement. So the min says that in the future, you are going to be servile to us. You're going to be filling water up for us. Dichtiv ushaftem mayim besosan. You will draw water for sosan. Amale, Rabbi Avo, who was, as we alluded to before, he was always confronting these heretics, and they often cited verses, and as a result, Rabbi Avo himself became quite expert in the Torah Shebiksav, which was a favorite tool of the heretics. As you know, many of the other religions, if you will, have adopted the what they call the Old Testament as their foundation book of faith, foundation for their faith. So Rabbi Avo was very sensitive, because of these confrontations, to scriptural references. And by the way, what we're explaining is based on a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zorah, where an incident took place between Rabbi Avo and the heretics, which involved Rav Safra. But we're not going to get into details here. I don't want to get off track too much. But he responds. He says, listen, you're quoting to me such a pasuk to make your point. He says back, he says, Ihavaksiv lisason, if the lamed would have preceded the word sason, then ke deko amras, then as you said, that we would be servile in filling up water for you. However, hashtiltiv bisason, if you look at the word carefully, there's a bays in front of it. Besos be, the bays indicates inside, like betoch habayis, or betoch whatever, inside. So the word says in sason. So what is the pasuk really saying? Mashche, mash is the skin. Mashche dehu gavra. He speaks in a euphemistic way, but he's saying to the guy, he's saying to the heretic, your skin is going to be mashvinon le, is going to be made into a guda. Guda is a skin bottle, a flask made of leather, in this case human leather. You're going to be made into a skin bottle, umalinon be maya, and you are going to be filled up with water. Not something positive. And of course we saw this in the previous story as well. We continue with our Mishnah, Ola Bekevesh Ufona L'Smolo. That's a quote from the Mishnah, the Dibur Maschil of the Gemara. The Kohen would walk up the ramp and make a left turn. Tonu Rabbonon. We have a topic heading for this section, Aliyas HaKohen L'Mizbeach L'Nasech Nisuch HaMayim. This section will discuss the the rising of the Kohen up the ramp for the purpose of the water libation. So the Tanaic source tells us, Kol ha'olim mizbeach olim derech yamin, u'mekifin v'yordan derech smol. In general, anyone who rose, anyone in the process of offering sacrifices, would rise to the top of the mizbeach or to wherever on the could be the sovev, the ramp, the or parapet running around the upper part of the mizbeach. You would rise and make a right turn and do whatever you have to do. Generally speaking, it's matnas dam, blood applications, and then circumlocute around the mizbeach. It was walk around the mizbeach, and then v'yordan derech smoil, and then descend the ramp. Derech smoil is a tricky expression. It literally means on your left, but it means you rose up the ramp. Derech Yamin, which would mean on the eastern edge of the ramp, since you were walking from south to north, to your right was the eastern edge. And you can use the diagrams that you see in the Pirush Chai to help navigate here. So you would rise arise on the ramp on the eastern edge, which is the right hand side of the ramp, the right hand edge of the ramp, and go around the mizbeach and then come down the western side of the ramp. Now that western side was your left hand as you were rising originally. That's why the term smol is used. It's the same, it's the smol in contrast to yamin. When you're rising, you're going up the eastern edge, which is literally to your right. When you're descending, you're going to be descending down the western edge of the ramp, which originally was to your left. So this is true, chutz min ha'ola l'shloisha dvarim, with the exception of the rising on the ramp to the top of the mizbeach for three procedures, for three practices. Let's read that again. Chutz min ha'ola l'shloisha dvarim halolu. For the following three, sha'olim derech smoil v'chozer ma'ala okev. In these cases, you would rise, go up the ramp, ascend the ramp on the left hand edge of the ramp. And in fact, when you reached the top, you would be taking an immediate left hand turn on the top of the mizbeach. And the chozer ma'akev means that you would then retrace your steps. You wouldn't walk around the mizbeach to go down the eastern edge, but you would simply retrace your steps to get off. And what are the three things that he's going to make the left turn for? Ve'elohein nisuch ha'mayim, v'nisuch ha'yayin, v'oyla sa'oiv kishirobso b'mizrach. The main point for us, of course, is the nisuch ha'mayim, for the purpose of the water libation. Same thing is the case for wine libations and for the offering of the oila sa'of, is a bird ola offering when there was too much of a crowd. Kishrav Samizuk, when there was too much on the eastern side. For our purposes, we're going to keep it short here and just focus on the Nisuch HaMayim. There's much more explanation. Rashi elaborates on these matters, but they are discussed in other Masichtas, and we're always in the hope that you will be learning all of Shas. So, with that in mind, we continue with the Gemara. Ela Shohoyu Mashchirin. The Mishnah mentioned that we saw the opinion that they were made of seed, but they turned dark, looking like silver. This was, of course, what Rabbi Yehuda had said at the bottom of Amud Aleph. And in describing the originally sid white cups that looked like silver, he said because of the wine that was poured. So the Gemara asks, Bishlam of the Ayin Masher. I can understand that the cup designed for the wine would turn dark because wine was dark and it would make it turn darker in color. Demaya Amai Mashir. The water cup made of sid, why would its color change? Water is transparent, doesn't change the color of things. Gemara answers, Kevon de'omar, since it was taught in the Mishnah, we saw, Iro shamayim letoch shalayim, v'shalayim letoch shamayim yotza. Since if you switched around the liquids and the holes, so you ended up pouring possibly the wine into the water hole, so the water hole also, shamayim osi, the water seifel, the water cup, would also turn dark from the wine that was mistakenly poured into it. Umenukovim kemin shnei choitmin v'chulei. Our Mishnah made reference to the holes leading out of the seifels. You see them illustrated in 637. The holes were of different sizes. We saw echod me'uba ve'echod dak. The section of Gemara here, under our title heading, is Nikovim al Hamizbeach Liayin Ula Mayim. We're focusing our discussion on these holes. Lemo Masnisin Rebudahi Velo Rabbanan. Let us say that our Mishnah that requires different size holes, one was Me'ube and one was Dak, is in accordance with Reb Yehuda and not in accordance with the Rabbanan. Now, our Mishnah taught these two dakim, one was me'uba and one was dak, and the Mishnah mentioned that kidei shu kolin bevasachas, the liquids should empty out of these sfolim, of these cups on the mizbeach, empty out with the water running, with the beverage running through the holes eventually into the hole on the top of the mizbeach, they should empty out at the same time. Now, the different size holes are necessary in order to accomplish the emptying out at the same time that the Mishnah emphasized. This idea. Fits in with Reb Yehuda, not with the Rabbanan. Why? Disnan, Reb Yehuda Omer Belug Hoya Menasech Kol Shmoina. Reb Yehuda says that the quantity of the water Nisachim, the quantity of the water was less, was one lug as opposed to three lug for the wine. So now, if you have three times the amount of wine than water, and you want the cups to empty out at the same time with the liquid streaming out of the hole into the seifel holes into the nekev that was on the top of the mizbeach, if you want them to empty out at the same time, and you have three times the amount of wine than water, it would make sense to have a very thin water hole in the cup designed for the water. It would be a very, very narrow hole so that the exit rate of the beverage, of the water, would be slower than the rate of the wine emptying through a large wine hole. So to account for the Mishnah, the authorship of the Mishnah, which features two different size holes with the purpose of emptying out simultaneously, this fits into the scheme of things as Reb Yehuda sees it, and not according to the Rabbanan. The Gemara goes on, De'i Rabbanan, ki hadodininu. If it were according to the Rabbanan, the wine water quantities are the same. Being that they're the same, you should have the same size hole. The Gemara says, afilu tema Rabbanan. Our Mishnah could actually be understood according to the Rabbanan as well. You'll ask, how are they going to empty out at the same time? If you have two different size holes, when the liquid quantity were the same in each one, the answer is chamra somich maya kolish. Wine is thick, is highly viscous, and as such, it's more closely, let's say, if you can imagine it as a syrup, very, very thick liquid relative to the water. So its exit rate, even if it's the same quantity, but the exit rate is going, the emptying rate is going to be much slower. So if you want it to empty out at the same time as the rapid flowing water, so for the wine you'll have a big hole, and for the water, a narrow hole. Hachi nami mistabra. And this is also likely that our Mishnah is in fact like the Rabbonan. The Rebbe Yehuda, if our Mishnah was authored by the Tana Rebbe Yehuda, the language, the choice of words would have been different. Racha v'kotzer islay. Not like our Mishnah had me'ube and dak. Muba being thick and dak being thin. He, Rebbe Yehuda, uses the terms rochav and kotzer, wide and narrow. And Desanya, we have this in a Tanaic source. Rebbe Yehuda omer shnei kasvois hoyu shom. There were two cups on the top of the mizbeach. Echad shomayim ve'echad shel yain. One designed for the water and one designed for the wine. Shel yain pia rochav. Notice the dashed underlining. The wine cup had a wide mouth, wide hole. And shel mayim pia kotzer. And the water was narrow. So that they should both empty out at the same time. Shma mino. So this is proof that our Mishnah was not authored by Rebbe Yehuda. He would have chosen different words to describe the whole, H-O-L-E, whole situation. Ma'arovo shel mayim. The western Seifel, the more westerly Seifel on the top of the Mizbeach, was for the water libation. Tanu Rabbona, Maise B'Tzeduki Echad. This Tanaic source will feature an incident where the Tzeduki successfully, in his eyes at least, poured the water over his feet, and they pelted him with the Esrog, with their Esrogim. And in the course of doing that, caused a part of the Mizbech to be chipped. And what is involved will be revealed here. Maise b'tzeduki echad, there was an incident with a heretic. Shenisech al gabi raglov, he poured the water of the nisuch hamayim on his feet. V'rogmu kolom besrogam, and the public that was there pelted him with their esrogim. V'osiyom nifgumo keren hamizbeach, and that day, the corner of the Mizbeach. Now, Rashi adds something very interesting. You don't see this in the words of the Gemara, but Nifkamo Keren HaMizbeach Al Yedei Avonim Shezarku Bo. Apparently, they threw stones as well. The source itself says they pelted him with their Esregim, but Rashi adds stones. Now, that would certainly, the Mizbeach itself was made of stone material, so it would, Rashi's explanation is much more understandable. It's hard to imagine an esrog causing the mizbeach to get chipped, but stones would certainly affect that. So the corner of the mizbeach got chipped. The view bul shel melach, and they brought a clump, a handful of salt, v'sosmuhu, and they filled in the area that was chipped. Not because the salt would now make the mizbeach functional, that this kind of sealing of the hole was the proper way of preparing. In fact, it's not. So then why did they bother filling in the crack? For aesthetic purposes, for honor to the mizbeach, it shouldn't appear chipped. And here, on the top of Mem Tesamon Aleph, the Mizbeach status is explained. Shekol Mizbeach, She'en lo kevesh v'lo keren, any Mizbeach that lacks the following list of properties: if it doesn't have a ramp, if it doesn't have a corner, v'lo yesod, if it doesn't have a base, v'lo ribua, or if it's lacking in its squareness, it has to be square, puzzle. The posel lavoda, the mizbeach is unfit for its use. Rabbi Yossi Rehuda Omer af hasovev. Rabbi Yossi adds that it has to also have the parapet running around the upper section of the mizbeach, the sovev. therefore, what they did was the filling in of the salt that didn't actually repair the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is, as we said, it was in disrepair as a result of it being chipped. That they filled it up with the salt was simply to for cosmetic purposes, so that it shouldn't appear dishonored. But afterwards, they would have to obviously repair it properly. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.